You are listening to Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum, and welcome to the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Suleiman Isub, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 22nd of Dhul-Qa'dah 1446, corresponding to Wednesday the 21st of May 2025. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg, and it's a bit warm, but in the mornings it is a bit cold, but nevertheless, we must thank Almighty Allah for giving us another day and granting us another day to wake up and to perform our deeds and to do all the actions and the a'mal. Yesterday we were discussing the topic on Hajj and when you're departing for Hajj and what one should do when you're departing for Hajj and when we were in the state of Ihram. We were in the part when we were in the state of Ihram. And to have a Hajj accepted and to have a Maqbool Hajj, you go for Hajj, you do your Fard Hajj, but when you come back, we should be coming back a changed person. We should forget all that before you left for Hajj, because the Hajj is a call from Almighty Allah. It's an invitation from Almighty Allah that is calling us to His house and to perform the sacred pilgrimage and to perform the acts of Hajj. Hajj is Arafat. Arafat is Hajj. And when you come back, we should be a better Muslim than what we were. Nobody is saying that you must become a buzruq, but rather try to instill and become more of a better Muslim, treat others with kindness, and make salam. Salam is so important. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith, I just get that hadith because the hadith is about the person who makes salam first. Inna al-awla an-nas billahi ta'ala man ba'adahum bi-salam. The one who is verily closer to Almighty Allah is the one who makes salam first. And in this day and age, it is so hard that when we see a person, even our Muslim brothers. But why is it that we find it so hard to make salam? Salam is assalamu alaikum. You are greeting the person, you are asking Allah that may peace and blessings be upon you, giving him a dua. May peace and blessings be upon you in whatever you do. And the person says, may peace and blessings be upon you too. You are starting your conversation by such a beautiful way, by giving peace, by asking Allah to give you peace, making dua for the person. Now when you go for Hajj, we emulate the practices of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, and we pelt the Jamarat, we go to Mina, we go to Muzdalifah. All this year is shown to us and we practice all these teachings and we make dua that Ya Allah, that when you go for Hajj, let us come back as a person. And you know, they say that when you come back from Hajj, or when you come back from Umrah for Hajj, that is though you are as though your mother gave birth to you, that you are got a clean slate. But that depends on your actions, whether you fulfilled all the rites in the correct manner. Inshallah, we're going to go for a small nasheed break, and when we come back, we will listen to a lecture by Maulana Ilyas Patel, inshallah.
You are listening to Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Hasbi Rabbi
Listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat. Faman farada fihin al-Hajj fala rafatha wala fusuqa wala jidala fil Hajj. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected Ulama-i Kiram, brothers and elders, the deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with is timeless. It is not for a specific moment in time only. It's not something seasonal. The deen applies only in certain seasons, and other seasons a person does as he pleases. It's for all times, for all people. And likewise, though certain a'mal and certain actions are done in specific times, but the message and the lessons of those a'mal as well are timeless. So among the very great ibadats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with is the ibadat of Hajj. And we are currently in the days of Hajj. The Hujjaj are already planning, some are leaving, some are already perhaps gone. But the lessons of Hajj are for us as well. We can derive a lot of inspiration from what has been mentioned about Hajj. What are the benefits of Hajj? And that is the lessons that we need to take to heart and implement in our lives. Every year that Hajj comes, so every year these lessons are to be refreshed in our hearts and minds, and to reflect that how much has this become a part of our lives. So first, very briefly, to touch on the ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat, that Hajj, yeah, the specific months of Hajj, and whoever has now undertaken to perform Hajj, then the three things that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in this ayat is, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ, that there must be no rafath, any sin of a specific type that is not those actions that are forbidden in the state of ihram, any kind of intimate talk as well between spouses who are now in ihram, and then wala fusuq, any sin, let alone in Hajj, these are things that are forbidden anywhere and any time. So in Hajj it's even more serious. And then Allah Ta'ala says, wala jidala fil Hajj, no quarreling, no arguments, no fights. This is a journey once in a lifetime that it's farz. Person can go 50 times thereafter, but it is the one only Hajj that will be farz. The first Hajj that he performs to fulfill the farz, that is the only farz. Unlike other salah, every day there will be 5 farz salah, tomorrow will be also farz. He's got one opportunity to make that farz Hajj. And on this occasion he's being reminded, wala jidala fil Hajj. No arguing, quarreling, fighting, because it will become a test for him. Many things might test him, might provoke him maybe. He's going to be doing many things in confined spaces with very big crowds. And how does he maintain his composure? What does he do? How he reacts to situations? So it's being highlighted that beware, don't ever let this slip. وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. In any case, this ayat of the Quran Sharif, there's much detail that is discussed about this. But we want to take some lessons that are directly applicable to ourselves at all times. So this is in the Hadith Sharif, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Al-Hajjul Mabroor, Laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-jannah. Hajjul Mabroor, we hear this word, we give dua also to people, Allah bless you with the Hajj Mabroor. So one explanation of Mabroor is Maqbool, an accepted Hajj. Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj. And this is a very great dua. And it teaches us the lesson that we should never ever be too confident about ourselves, that whatever we did, this is done, accomplished. We are totally dependent on the acceptance of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's acceptance doesn't come, then no matter what it might appear to be, how great, but it's all nothing. So in any case, this is one explanation, maqbool. But the word mabroor comes from bir. Bir means virtue, righteousness, good deeds. So now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this Hajj which is filled with righteousness, this Hajj which is filled with good deeds, and this Hajj gains the acceptance in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And the reward for this Hajj is, لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. There's nothing less than Jannat for it. And what is Jannat? So, in the one Hadith Sharif, the description of Jannat, that the extent of the... Now in those days, a person would be riding a horse, riding a camel, so they have a little bit of a small stick, a whip, to sometimes spur that animal on. So how big is that? How wide is it? Might be maybe at the most a meter long, and maybe thick as two fingers. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that that space in Jannat, which is equivalent to that whip or stick that a person drops down, that amount of space in Jannat is greater than this whole world and what it contains. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Those bounties in Jannat which no eye have seen, ever seen, no ear has heard of, no mind and heart can ever imagine. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this Hajjul Mabroor, the reward is nothing less than Jannat and the everlasting Jannat. So the Sahaba were very eager to know what makes it Mabroor. We would take it for granted. Anything we hear, we take it as done. But the Sahaba were very eager to know the finer details of what will truly make it Mabroor. So the three things that are highlighted are things that apply to us every moment, anywhere, any place in the world, any time of the year. And this is being described as the highlights that enhance Hajj and make it Mabroor. So obviously a person praying for Hajj, he's going to perform his tawaf, he's going to make sa'i, he's going to fulfill all the rites of Hajj in the 5 days. Otherwise, what Hajj is going for? That goes without saying. But he wants Hajjul Mabroor. He doesn't want to just go through the motions. So the Sahaba were therefore eager to know what will make it Mabroor. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things. Now these are the three things that we have to now take to heart as well. That this is the Haji, mashallah, he will go, he will practice upon this. This is the highlight of his Hajj. So he will bring it back because this will become part of his, this is what it's meant to be. Unfortunately, even on this journey of Hajj, we often neglect these things. But whereas it's meant to become part of this Haji's life, that in that time he will keep doing this to make it, make his Hajj Mabroor. By the time his Hajj is complete and he comes home, he'll come back with these amal. And in any case, it's applicable to everyone, wherever we are, any time of the year. So the three things that I mentioned that would make this Hajj Mabroor: Ifshaw al-Salam, It'am al-Ta'am, Wattib al-Kalam. Three things. Number one, Ifshaw al-Salam, making salam common. Now these are topics that are discussed from time to time. But the question is still, are we practicing on it? Ifshaw al-Salam. Who we know, we make salam to them. but who we don't know. We came into the masjid, there were so many people we passed while walking in. When we are leaving the masjid, we'll pass so many people. Maybe few of them we know. And many we don't know who the person is, what's his name, where he comes from. He might be somebody in the community, somebody from outside. It might be we are in some masjid elsewhere. It's obvious all our Muslim brothers are there. But how often we make salam to the person we don't know? Whereas that has been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, that's a sign of Qiyamah. That people will make salam only to those they are familiar with. Otherwise they know this is my Muslim brother. I don't know him. So why bother about greeting him? Whereas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying ifshaw salam, spreading salam, making it common. So this is the greeting Allah has blessed us with, which is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. That إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Make salam. You enter your home, make salam. The greeting Allah is blessed with. In any case, this is the one aspect. We just want to touch on the last bit, a little bit more. So just going through these specific aspects briefly. So the first aspect mentioned is إِخْشَاءُ السَّلَام. The second, إِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامُ. Feeding what? Whatever a person can, any amount. Like the fasting person, a person gives him a sip of water to break his fast, he gets a reward of his whole fast. Gives him one date, and he gets the reward of his whole fast. There's no, it's not dependent on feeding him a full meal. So whoever, whatever and whoever, to the extent that a person feeds a disbeliever also will get somebody. So this is a very great amal as well, feeding, and especially if a person is in dire circumstances, he's starving, he's hungry. Subhanallah, what will be the reward of that? The person who fed a thirsty dog some water was a woman of ill repute, but she did this good act. Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness came on this good act. Meaning then her life changed. She turned, the tawfiq came upon this good act of feeding a thirsty dog. So when we feed insan, and on top of that somebody who is a Muslim, what can we imagine the rewards? So in any case, this is the second aspect. And the third aspect, this is what actually we want to just deliberate on a little bit. The third aspect, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Tibul Kalam. A person has gone for Hajj, and from the beginning till the end sometimes, there are situations that come about which can become a little bit testing, challenging. And in those challenges, a person sometimes wants to say a lot. But he's been cautioned, look, you're going for Hajj. So from beginning to end, keep your tongue sweet. Tibul Kalam. Speak good words, kind words. Now this is something taken for granted. Then what does a person speak? So what? He'll speak how he wishes to speak. And he'll talk in any tone. He'll use any kind of language sometimes. Whereas we're talking about this once in a lifetime, ibadat, hajj. That a person is going for hajj. And this once in a lifetime ibadat, he wants to do it at the highest level. So he wants to make it maqbool, he wants to make it mabroor. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us the lesson. You want to make it mabroor, then bring this also into the whole equation. Tibul Kalam. And now this haji will be conscious of this throughout his journey of hajj. And in previous times, people, the journey would be lasting months, sometimes many, many months. They would travel, it would take them such a long period of time. Now a person barely just departs in the evening, in the morning he's already there. So he is now conscious over this entire duration of time about how he speaks. Inshallah, when he returns, he'll speak his whole life in that manner very consciously. But in any case, this is a lesson. Tibul Kalam. In one Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains one matter, says that on the day of Qiyamah, there are other details in it, but just this part of the Hadith Sharif. On the day of Qiyamah, a person will look to his right. He says he will have to talk to Allah Ta'ala directly and give an account. He'll look towards his right, all he can see his actions. what kind of deeds he brought, his good deeds. If he, whatever good deeds he passed forward, he looks to his left, only his deeds, all the wrongs, evil deeds. He looks ahead of him, فَلَا يَرَىٰ إِلَّا النَّارَ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِ. In front of him is Jahannam. Fire of Jahannam is there. It depends what comes weighty on the scales. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had this deep compassion for the ummah and wanted to save them from every difficulty and hardship, and more than anything else, the difficulties of akhirat, because that is beyond what a person can complain anyway. There's no comparison to what is the difficulties of dunya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, look, that fire of Jahannam, ittaqun nar walau bishitti tabaratin. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam by doing every good deed that you can, even if it means that you can give a part of a date in sadaqah. You can't give a whole date, half a date. But try to save yourself from that, even with this. Allah knows best which one gets accepted. And then, famallam yajid, if somebody doesn't even have half a date to give in sadaqah, فَبِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ, he doesn't even have half a date, then remember, you still have something. What you have? You have kind words. You have good, kind words to speak, to bring some happiness to somebody's heart, to say something that will create some bond and unity, to say something that will create mahabba and love. You have this ability to speak in a good way. Use that. That might become your means of safety from the fire of Jahannam. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَبِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبًا. You have nothing else? You still have a tongue that you can use correctly. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Jannah and some specific palaces of Jannah. يُرَى ظُهُورُهَا مِنْ بُطُونِهَا. Details are mentioned in there. You don't have the time to go into those details. But then when this description was given, so one person stood up and he asked that, who is this special palace for? This is something very special. When a person sometimes passes something in dunya, driving past, he sees something a little bit more, catches his eye, something more outstanding or whatever. So now he starts dreaming about it too. I also wish I had this. Whereas all this is perishable. Whoever Allah has blessed it to, we make dua for them, Allah give them barakat. We want for us to attach our hearts to it. But now this is the everlasting bounties of Jannah. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing the special palace in Jannah. So this sahabi woke up and he asked, liman hiya ya Rasulullah? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned four things that are in a person's life will bring this for him. Four aspects. Top of the list, number one, liman ataba al kalam, the one who speaks kindly, gently. Now this is not just with some outside, with some friends, with strangers, or for the sake of business. Now he has a very sweet tongue, because now the customer counts, how he speaks to the customer, very difficult customer. Person is really giving him a hard time too, but a very big customer. So now big customer means big profits. So for the big profits, great sweetness, lot of tolerance, ample forgiveness. For what? For the dunya. But for akhirat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing this jannat. At top of the list, liman atab al kalam. Liman atab al kalam, the person who speaks in kind words, gentle tones. The person speaks good things. And this will apply now, where it applies more than anything else, within the four walls of his home. How does he speak? With those who he has to interact all the time. With his own parents. What kind of language is used? What kind of tone? What kind of words are? How does a person respond? Whereas the Quran Sharif says, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't even use the word uff, meaning don't express irritation with even some sound, let alone words. But now this lesson of lean ul kalam, Utibul Kalam. This is a lesson that doesn't apply to us, it applies to somebody else. Whereas we can see the importance that this is what's going to enhance somebody's Hajj. This is what's going to make it maqbool and mabroor. Obviously, together with everything else that's required. But now the highlights of Hajj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, these are the three highlights. Ifshaul Salam, person is entering his house too, so often that Salam is not made. That is what brings barakat in the home. But he doesn't have the Salam in his, at the entry of the house, leaving the house, there's no Salam. It'amut ta'am, that's a highlight of Hajj. And Tibul Kalam, speaking in kind words, speaking gently. In the Quran Sharif, Allah has highlighted, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. In this particular ayat, Allah speaks first about speaking in a good manner, and then Salah and Zakah. Obviously, Salah and Zakah is first of the highest level. But we forget about Akhlaq. So to remind us that, look, don't take this as secondary either. In this ayat, Allah mentions this even before Salah and Zakah. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. When a person speaks in a good way, it doesn't occur to him that this was an ibadat. He made tilawat of the Quran Sharif, definitely it's a great ibadat. And he feels, alhamdulillah, I made some ibadat. He recited some zikr, alhamdulillah, it's ibadat. This too is ibadat. When a person speaks in a way that brings about some happiness in the heart of somebody, brings some good feeling, it's all part of kalimatun tayyiba. As that hadith sharif we described, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you don't have half a date also to give in sadaqah, then give this kalimatun tayyiba. Just as that sadaqah, it brings alive a person, so to say. Not that he is dead, but he's sometimes so down and out that sadaqah helped him to survive. It brought some happiness to him. Somebody supported me in some way. These good words also bring the heart of a person alive. And sometimes we just go about with the negative, with the opposite of those good words, and just keep killing the hearts around us. And in the process, sometimes we kill our marriages too. We kill the relationship with our parents. We kill the relationship with our neighbors. So Nabi Mabroor, you want Mabroor Hajj, Maqbool Hajj. So now we are all the time in need of whatever is going to bring this, bring us closer to Allah as well, not confined to Hajj, the highlight of Hajj. But the lesson is for all times. And these are things to reflect upon. What kind of tongue do I have? How sweet is my tongue? Not in the wrong places. Unfortunately, in the wrong places sometimes the tongue is very sweet. When Allah is forbidden, then the tongue is sweet. But where it's compulsory to be talking kindly to our parents, to be talking in kind tones and words to people around us, our families and so on, there we forget these lessons. So this is a very, very important lesson. Bring this alive and see the difference it will make. And the difference it will make to ourselves. We will be the first ones to enjoy the benefit of it. And others as well will enjoy it. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq.
And that was such a beautiful, beautiful, inspiring lecture by Maulana Ilyas Patel, Damat Barakatu, and the giving us and explaining to us the importance of Hajj and how one should conduct oneself. And he also mentions when you're going for a reward or when you're going for a promotion, you work hard towards it. And when you're working hard towards something, you know that the reward is great. But with that reward, nothing comes easy, my dear respected listeners. So that's why we have to strive and push in this world, so that when we come to the end of our life, Allah Ta'ala will be happy to be pleased to meet us, and we'll be pleased to meet Almighty Allah. And when we look at the hardships that we went through, the suffering that we went through, we say, Ya Allah, you should have given me more, so then I know my akhirat, I can attain more and look at the reward that I've got. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَإِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّمَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَ. Verily, with every hardship, there is ease. And Allah Ta'ala promised not once but twice that would be after every hardship there is, may Almighty Allah grant us the hidayat of understanding. Inshallah, we've come to the end of our show. We say Jazakallah khairan to you, the listener of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and from the team of the morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isum, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Fi'amanillah. And don't forget, after from Zuhr to Asr, du'as are accepted, so please remember us and the Ummah at large, and also our brothers, beloved brothers and sisters in the war torn countries. Fi'amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.